Hello and welcome back to the podcast of Steel. I am your host, Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, and this is Superman, The Definitive History by Edward Gross and Robert Greenberger. A brilliant book, wonderfully printed, gorgeously written, and on this episode, I got to sit down and speak with the executive editor, Tim Pilcher. I learn all about Tim's early career in comics that started in a comic shop, and I learned more about this amazing book, including the fact that later on this year, a new edition will be coming out that will feature James Gunn's Superman and Supergirl that comes out this June. This is a brilliant book. I love reading it. I love getting lost in its pages. And it gave me a greater love for Superman and those that helped tell his story. Tim, thank you so much for sitting down with me. And Inside Editions, thank you for creating this amazing book. So here it is, a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel with my very special guest, Tim Pilcher. I need to put this down now because it's rather heavy. Tim, sir, Mr. Tim Pilcher, where can I begin apart from saying thank you for not only joining me on the Podcast of Steel today, but to talk about this majestic book, The Definitive History of Superman by Insight Editions that you helped create, sir. Hello.
Well, I think I'd like to think I was more the, what would you call it? The midwife. Yeah, well, I have.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, yeah, because I mean, it literally, this book took a village. The amount of thanks that were given to the, at the end of this book is a beautiful thing to say. And to see a name like, I've following the Superman homepage website for years. So Steve Unis, an absolute legend in the world of a sort of a Superman fandom, helped bring this book alive as well, but as did so many people. And yes, we are here today to talk about many things from your extensive career, your absolutely mammoth career, but to talk about this book as well, which is just amazing. Insight Editions over the years have released some fantastic books. I've got a few to the side of me, and I've got almost a show and tell situation here going on. I love big books. I love books of all time, but there's something about a big book that just on a coffee table or on a shelf behind me, it's something special to look at. But Insight Editions have made some wonderfuls over the year that I will get into momentarily. But first, Tim, we're talking about origin stories and superheroes. Could you share some of your origin story with the listeners and watchers, please, sir? How did the life in comics begin for you?
Oh, well, I was always reading comics ever since I was a kid, and I was always a DC fan. You know, it's always that thing of DC or Marvel and all of that sort of stuff. So started with 2000 AD and reading all of that when that came out, and then just naturally gravitated over to, you know, every single title. I remember going to like all the news agents, you know, like every week, because they would always deliver different batches of comics to different news agents. So you had to kind of go around. So if you were going to get, say, Swamp Thing from one news agent, it wouldn't be there the next month. So you'd have to go to another newsagent and try and track down the next issue. So I was always doing that. And this was before I discovered comic shops, you know, and then discovered things like Forbidden Planet and Gosh Comics in London, and started going up to London on buying trips and doing that kind of thing. And then just realized that that's what I wanted to work in. I just love comics and wanted to do that. So got a job in a comic shop, which is actually Comic Showcase, which is sadly no more, but back then was in Covent Garden, and ended up working there for about 5.5 years and ended up being the manager. And at that time, it was just a really amazing shop because it was where all the professionals went. So everybody came through. So Mick McMahon, Kev O'Neill, Dave Gibbons, Dave McKean, you name it, all the British comic creators. They would always come in like on a Thursday afternoon, which was that was then comic book day, not on a Wednesday. And so everyone would come in the afternoon, you know, early evening, and all meet up and sort of hang out and chat. And then so I got to know all the professionals, you know, through those years, which was great. It was amazing. And through that, DC was setting up a London office, and basically I kind of applied, and I was very lucky. It was when Vertigo was just starting out, so it was Art Young was my boss, and I got the job. And we were based in the Warner Brothers building on Wardour Street, and worked there for a couple of years. So yeah, my first job in publishing was actually working for the company I grew up reading. So it was very lucky.
That's like one of the, you know, that's a big tick off the list. Not only to work in a comic shop and not get fired for just reading comics all day, you know, you're there now making your name in comics as well, which is just wonderful. And such an exciting time for comics, not only in the UK, but around the world as well. So what was that like to be there, you know, literally as a page was turning, as comics were being told in a new way? What was that like for you, Tim?
It was a very exciting time. It was that time when the British invasion, the sort of second wave of British invasion period happening. And so you had, you know, you had Gaiman and McKean, you had Grant Morrison, you had Garth Ennis, you had all of these guys kind of really making big tracks and big noise in the US. And being around that at the same time, you had things like Tank Girl was exploding at Deadline. And, you know, just being around that, it was kind of like, the closest thing I can explain is probably because it was around about the same time. It was like very much a kind of like comics Britpop. You know, it was that kind of exciting buzz about the industry as a whole. And there was like a, you know, the rest of the world was starting to pay attention to comics and take them seriously, which they'd never had done before.
Yeah, they started getting a little bit more, as you say, like the Britpop scene. It was getting a bit more rock and roll, but like I say, that British invasion as well. We had the mods and the rockers. Now we've got the comics coming back into it as well. I can remember, as you say, going back and trying to go to a newsagent in the UK and get a comic each week. Down here on the South Coast, there weren't many comics shops back down here down the day. There are more now, but as you said, you would go back each week and not find that next issue. You couldn't find out what Batman or Superman was getting up to. So if I'm at a comic book fair now and I see a nice comic, I can see that 12p in the top right corner, I say, that's the English version, I need to add that to my list to find out what happened. But again, it was an exciting time, especially that for you, but then to get into comics as well. And you mentioned Dave Gibbons. You've worked with Dave now on a fantastic Eisner-nominated award book. Please tell me a bit more about that as well, Tim.
Actually, two Eisner-nominated books.
I'll get that in there. There's two in there now. That's it.
No, it's funny because I've known Dave from those days at Showcase. And so we've always been in touch and sort of, you know, become good friends. And he wrote a foreword for one of my books. And we kind of worked off and on in little bits like that. But no, back in, I think it was 2017, we got approached to do a book called How Comics Work, which was really Dave's approach on how he produces comics, because everybody does it slightly differently. Yes. But this was kind of Dave's approach. And it was a really thorough, in-depth look at, you know, everything that he does. Because it's an interesting thing with Dave is I think everyone always thinks of him as an artist, but actually he's a writer as well. And he's a letterer and he's a colorist, you know, so he does everything basically. But people always just put him as like, oh, as an artist, but he's a lot more than that. So he knows every single stage of comics creation. You know, he started out as a letterer on, I think it was something like, not the Beano, but one of the Buster titles, the IPCs. Oh. And that was his break into it, was being a letterer. So we did this book and it was really great because we're both big fans of process books and exploring and digging into what makes comics tick and dissecting that and working out. So it was a fun project to do. And yes, that got nominated for an Eisner, which was lovely. And then a couple of years later, Dave wanted to do his autobiography. And, you know, he's had, you know, if you want to talk, you know, careers,
yes,
he's worked with everybody, yes, you know, Frank Miller, Alan Moore, you name it. He's done it all, you know. And again, funnily enough, he's one of those artists that has also been very much associated with Superman. He's done a lot of Superman stuff. And I think, you know, it's a character that's kind of quite close to his heart. So we did his autobiography, and he had a really interesting idea of doing it, which was not as a just a linear, this is my career from age one till now. It was sort of anecdotes and little bits. So it's done alphabetically, and it's kind of little stories about throughout his whole career. But so you can read it in two different ways. You can jump into it, you know, at random parts and just read one little anecdote. Or if you do read it from A to Z, you still get a sense of his career, and the way he structured it was very clever. So that you still get this sense of, as he described it, it's like if you sat down with him in the pub, that's the kind of experience you'd get.
But on the page. That's it. It's added to the list of more things for me to read. A few years ago, I as a New Year's resolution, I wanted to read more books. I'm always reading comics, but I wanted to read more books, and I've gotten that into a big way. So I've got my comic nonfiction pile that I'm slowly working through. That will be added to the list to sit down and have a drink, say with comic creators, or to sit down and have a coffee with Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. That's like on my wish list of like wishes if I had one, just to be able to get in that to that. And as you said, it's deep diving into this world of comics and characters that we all adore. We can go on our own sort of research journey. We can go to libraries. We can go onto the internet. But when we get books such as this one, the definitive history, it's a big title to have. And when I heard about this, I was fully invested. I saw my first copy at San Diego Comic-Con in 2024, and it was locked behind a glass cabinet. I was like, no, I've come all this way. I'm so close. I was able to get a sneak peek inside, but when the book finally did arrive, I sort of pretty much emptied my calendar of all of my requirements of where I needed to be and just got lost in it, because it is such a wonderful book, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's really down to Ed Gross and Bob Greenberger. I mean, they're the guys that did all the heavy lifting. But I mean, as you say, it's a big title. And I knew that if we were going to call it the definitive history, we were going to have to go deep, you know, broad and deep. It's a kind of a difficult thing to try and cover, because, you know, that's a lot of history. We have 85 plus years of history to really dig into. But I noticed that a lot of the books that are out there they kind of do like the comics history. If, you know, they pick any character you like and they focus on the comics history, or they might focus on the film history. But there are very few books that really cover every element and aspect of popular culture, which these characters obviously, you know, inhabit. And so that was kind of a key remit for me, is like, you know, let's cover every single element. Let's talk about the animation. Let's talk about the public service announcements, all of those things that don't really get the attention that they probably should, you know. And I think that was the fun part, was digging into those little corners of popular culture. Yeah.
It's and again, there's a few Superman facts that I've still yet to find out, and I love that I'm still finding out more. I'm finding out about these comics that sadly could have gotten lost over the years and literally thrown away. But it's book like this that not only keep the memory of Superman alive, it tells his story. It talks about the creators and, more importantly, the comics, the importance of comics throughout the decades and how influential this particular character has been. So what was it like for you when, you know, this very important job, as it were, it came your way? How did you prepare yourself to take on this role of executive editor?
Well, it's kind of funny, actually, because I was always a Batman fan. I was never really a Superman fan, you know, because starting out this project. And I think, actually, this project won me over with Superman. And I feel really now he's the hero that we need right now. And, you know, Batman, I think, you know, we'll save for when things are a little bit easier and a little bit nicer and this kind of stuff. And then we can go dark. But right now we need hope. And that's the Superman is the embodiment of hope. And I think that was what was joyful about doing this project, was it was that sense of like hope and upliftingness. So, yeah. So coming at it, I will confess, I probably wouldn't have known that much. I mean, obviously, I know the history of Superman and I know a bit, but I was learning as I was going along as well. And that was fun because, like you say, every day is a learning experience. And, you know, I love research. I mean, that's kind of like finding out those kind of little stories and those back anecdotes and things like that, you know, I find fascinating. I mean, you know, we reprinted a letter from, I think, Jerry Siegel in the book, and just discovering kind of like the history of Jerry Siegel's relationship with DC, and fractious though it was, it's
Yeah.
It's so much more complicated than I think anybody really kind of talks about and digs into. And, you know, I found that really fascinating. And, you know, just the fact that these two kids from, you know, Cleveland just hit like a zeitgeist. And, you know, something exploded. And not only for them and the Superman as a character, but for all superheroes. I mean, it was just like this touchstone, you know, for an entire industry. And that in itself is, I think, is a fascinating story, you know, that how that came about and, you know, the false starts and that, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, we produced this thing and it's an instant hit. You know, they had a lot of work and, you know, they were touting around the newspaper strip and people weren't interested and they were kind of giving up hope. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's a nice story to learn about how they the tenacity of their work, and it paid off.
It did. And I mean, there's a lot of history behind Superman. And just, as you say, going back to where it started with Jerry and Joe, there's a lot. I keep this book close by. It's a whopper of a book, but it tells Jerry and Joe's story with every nitty gritty detail, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And to see that in this book as well, not just the good, but also the bad and the trouble that they had, it made it important for fans that didn't know about this, that they're being told new information. But also in such a, just a, again, it's a beautiful book to hold. Talking about, you know, it is big. It is a huge book. It's a coffee table book. What I love, what about Inside Editions did, I think last year, they brought out a Christmas tree decoration of this book, but it's a pocket size one. But there's still pages in the book which are still just as wonderful to look through. But it's just a whopper of a book. That's my review of it. It's a wonderfully done book.
It was funny when we were doing it. It just kept growing, you know. It was like this organic thing because we kept saying, oh, and then there's this, and then there's this, and we just realized that, you know, we had to just keep adding to it. And, you know, there is a point where you have to go, okay, we have to actually publish this at some point, you know, and you can't just keep adding to it, otherwise you'd never finish the book. So I mean, there's always that kind of cutoff point, but it was, you know, just discovering new stories and new artwork and things that hadn't been seen, and that was the fun. It's kind of like having a rummage through. And, you know, DC were brilliant. We had Ben Harper, who was at DC at the time, and Ben LeClaire, who's the historian at DC, and they were both really helpful and helped us kind of like dig into the archives there and find some really great gems and things like that. So we had a lot of people, as you say, there were a lot of people thanked in the back, but, you know, had some really fantastic sort of stuff that I just know hasn't ever seen print before. So, you know, that was kind of the important thing. You know, if you're going to set yourself up with a target on your back, like definitive history, you've got to make sure you're pretty definitive.
I mean, it's hard to include every single fact, but you all did a fantastic job with it. There's some fantastic Superman websites out there that we all follow. But whenever it's sort of like a Father's Day or a Mother's Day or a certain event where we try and share all the pictures of a collage of all the people that have been in the Superman films and TV shows over the years, you're always going to get that one person that says, well, what about this person? Or what about the Superman musical? Or what about this radio show or this guy? It's great. But now we've got this booklet now where we can, it was a case of getting into comic shop arguments years ago. Like, oh, I've got to go to my comic snack and research this now. We can now go to this book and get some nice cold, hard facts. Now, there's lots of fantastic chapters in the book. Is there one that is your favourite, Tim?
Tricky one, that. I actually think I really like the public service announcements. Mm. Again, because I mean, I think they've become a lot more prevalent recently. I think, you know, and people have been sharing those and stuff. But I think the fact that they existed kind of almost exemplify that Superman as a symbol of hope. You know, a lot of it is about things like him dealing with like landmine clearance, you know, for the UN. What I find interesting is I don't know if you remember this, you're probably too young, but when I was at school, we had the nicotine anti-smoking campaign.
It's on my list of questions, Tim. It's one of my, I've got one of the original posters that I used to see in my dentist growing up. suit and the comic as well. But yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, but that, I mean, but the Americans don't know about that at all. I mean, that's what's really fascinating. It's like that was such a big part of a kind of like our childhood in the UK. And I remember seeing the posters around school and all of this kind of stuff and the animation, you know, it was quite a big campaign. Yet Americans are not really aware of this. When I was talking to them, it's like they were saying, oh, I've never heard of it, you know. So, I mean, that shows how sort of global Superman is. Yes. And how regional he can be as well, you know. So we've got things in different languages. So I think, you know, that chapter about, you know, public service announcements, I think was kind of my favorite. I love the stuff where we're digging into things that people don't really talk about. Mm. So, you know, you could talk about all the obvious things like, you know, some Kingdom Come or, you know, all the great sort of comics that are out there and stuff, but, you know, true fans know that stuff. I want to find the stuff that, you know, I didn't even know about, you know, and that was kind of like part of the remit. Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, going back to the PSAs and sort of some of the more weirder products that Superman has been on over the years was great to see that as well. We're aware of sort of the odd squirt gun and the roller skates, but being in the UK, there are some items that are just so hard for me to get, including the classic Superman peanut butter jars. There was just such some sort of random items like that. But going through this book again, which is wonderfully printed, where you can there's been moments where I've been trying to zoom in with my fingers as if it was a digital display screen. That's how the future has broken me in a way. But learning as you go, and again reading about other people's versions of Superman and what Superman means to them was fantastic. And again, to have Mike Carlin and Brandon Routh introduce the book was just the perfect way. People that really know what Superman means to the general masses. I think seeing those names when I opened the book, I was like, okay, I'm in for a good ride now. This is going to be it. But how do you sort of, again, whittle down what goes into this book and make it happen, Tim?
Well, that's a good point. I was just going to say, you mentioned the peanut butter thing. You know, there was a cell from the peanut butter adverts I wanted to put in there, but we just didn't have the room, no. You know, and it was like, you know, so there's always room for doing things, and you do have to make those kind of editorial choices. And I think it's a combination of making sure that, like all of these things, it's got to be informative and entertaining. Sounding like the BBC now, but it's got to have a flow. And it's got to read well. It's no good just kind of like listing a whole load of facts,
no.
You know. And I think that's why Ed and Bob are great writers, because they managed to create like a narrative throughout that. And the way that the book actually is done is quite nice, because it almost works linear. Although, you know, we've done it in separate chapters, which is about different areas like animation or computer games. The way we put those chapters in, it almost starts kind of like with the comics and kind of ends up with the kind of the more recent high tech stuff. So it had a natural kind of flow for itself. It evolved quite naturally in that respect. So that was really nice.
Yeah, there's a fantastic timeline in the end of the book that is wonderfully detailed, where you can literally go from 1938 and a wee bit before to where Superman is now. And just that cultural impact that this idea has had over the decades, and how people still go back, and if they're making a superhero film, they're advised to go and watch Superman 78 as an idea of what your film doesn't necessarily need to be like, but the inspiration that film can have. So this is a difficult question to ask, especially one that I don't like answering, but you've worked on this book now, you've been around comics your whole life. Do you have a favorite interpretation of Superman, or a favorite comic from over the years as well, Tim?
I mean, I would say, because I remember it coming out, and you know, because he's a friend as well, but I would say that for The Man Who Has Everything, I have a very soft spot for that. Just because, again, it's Alan Moore's writing, it's fantastic. You really get, I mean, and you could say the same thing for Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Because that was the time that I was getting into comics, and so that was kind of like my Superman, you know, and that was kind of where I was getting in there. And it was an interesting period because although I'd read some of the earlier stuff in the earlier 80s and sort of maybe late 70s, it wasn't really until that period that I was really getting into comics and really kind of getting them on a regular basis. So to me, it was that kind of when they, that I'm going to mention loads of things now, because also the Man of Steel series that John Byrne did, that reboot, when that came along, it was like, okay, I'm buying into this now. And it was kind of like, and that was when I really got into Superman. So Alan Moore doing the reboot with Whatever Happens to the Man of Tomorrow, then straight into, you know, that series. And then I was picking up Action and Superman sort of every, they were, fortnightly? I can't remember. No, it's like, but you know, that's what I was really getting to Superman at that stage. So that is, what's that? That's about 84?
84, yeah. So. It was when it was going from not necessarily darker, but a bit more edgier in the way it was, the stories were told, which I loved.
Yeah, I think, you know, what Byrne was doing was just to kind of bring him up to date. Mm. And put in those little contemporary twists, just whether it's just fashion or, you know, references and things like that. It kind of gave it a, you know, a sense of nowism and brought that very much kind of like what, you know, James Gunn's done with, you know, the film. I think it's just bring it up to date, you know. So very contemporary.
And that's it. And that's why I'm so happy that Superman's story is continuing to be told, because in 10 years time that there's going to be more additions to this book and other books in the future as well. And as you said, going back to those comics where, you know, Superman's story isn't being changed as such, it's just being told in a new way to a new audience. How do you think Superman has been able to do that so well over the years, while this particular character still means something to the people?
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Why do icons become icons? I mean, that's a great question. And I think it has to be at the core of every character. There has to be something that people engage with, people connect with. And I think, as I said, with Superman, I think it's hope. Mm-hmm. With Batman, I think, you know, a lot of these superheroes, they're about catharsis and, you know, it's coming, overcoming some sort of difficulty and becoming better than after that difficulty. Mm. So, you know, for Superman, it's, you know, coming to terms with, you know, your family and everyone, you know, being wiped out, being an adopted kid, dealing with that, living in a strange world, finding your place in that world. You know, both as a, you know, in disguise as a human and as an alien, and kind of doing good. And I think people generally want to do good, you know, and I think there's a great sense of aspiration, I think, with Superman. You know, he's on a pedestal. He's like, that's what we're looking for, you know, and that's what we aspire to. So I think that in itself, that's you can't ask for anything better, really.
No.
So, you know, you know, in these dark times, I think, you know, let's all be a bit more Superman. You know, as they say in the film, you know, is that perhaps that's the real punk, you know, punk rock. That's, you know, being
one of the lines that, I mean, many fantastic lines coming out of that film. But when I watched that scene for the first time, I mean, it's difficult for me when I'm watching a film because I'm trying to take it all in for just enjoyment purposes and review purposes as well. But that line there and that monologue at the end when he's sort of saying why, you know, it was just, for me, what Superman is all about. He has those odd moments where in between fighting and being strong, he has those moments of wisdom. And we got so much of that, which is why, as you said, it's hard for some people to pick a favorite Superman. And it, for me, it changes all the time. I could go back to Smallville. I could go back to The Adventures of Lois and Clark. I could go back to anything. And with the help of this book, I can learn more about those characters as well. Now you've mentioned, talking about this interview, that there is a new copy, a new version of this book, Tim.
Mm.
What's that
yeah.
like?
Well, I mean, as I was saying, you know, you can only fit so much in before you actually have to publish the book. And, you know, time marches on. There's never a, you know, things don't stop. So as we were doing the book, obviously James Gunn was making the film, and we knew that, and we really wanted something in there for the film. But unfortunately, the timing wasn't available to us, and we had to get the book out. So it was like, okay, so we know that we need to get that film in there. We also need to get Supergirl in there, because we do cover the whole Superman family. It's not just Superman in the book. So, you know, Crypto's in there, and Superboy and Supergirl. And so it was important to get everyone. So, yes, there is going to be a new version coming out, which is going to be slightly different in its format, but it will have material about Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, and its influence on the new upcoming film. It will have, obviously, sort of behind-the-scenes stuff from the last film, from James Gunn. It's going to be a little bit brought up to date with the comics and, you know, all the comics that have come out since last year. We're trying to keep it up to date and interesting and doing that. It doesn't have quite all the whistles and bells that the big hardcover has. So, but it will be a hardcover with a jacket and a slightly new redesigned cover.
That's fine. I do love a variant. I'm going to have to find more shelf space, Tim. This is all music to my ears. And that's the thing. It is constantly changing. So it's going to be updating for many years to come. That's why I say researching books and encyclopedias and fact books. I love learning more about the things that mean something to me and everybody else. So to have new facts brought my way, to have new stories told to me about this hero, it's like sitting down with a family member that knew a family member that you didn't know too well, and you're getting those stories, you're getting those anecdotes, you're getting a closer connection to a character that you already had a strong connection to. And with this book, it gave me not only a greater respect for the legacy of Superman, but the many people over the years that have helped bring this character to life. The artists, the writers, the designers, the prop creators, costume designers. There's a world of entertainment out there that came from just two heroic people that has now created careers for hordes of people. So including yourself, Tim, you are a part of that legacy now as well.
Well, one of the nicest things that for me kind of like really cemented the book was when Mark Waid was chatting with Ed and Bob. They did a little chat online, and the fact that Mark said, I thought I'd done the definitive book on Superman, but this is even better. And I thought, okay, you know, thanks, Mark. That to me was the seal of approval. Yes. I thought, you know, this is a man who knows Superman inside and out. To get that accolade was lovely. That was really nice.
I had the privilege of speaking with Mark a few years ago, and just to be able to hear him talk for a few minutes about Superman felt like an absolute privilege. But how he still continues to talk about him, and it's wonderfully put words, and you can see why Superman means so much to him and people around the world when he talks about Superman or sees Superman. And again, one of the pioneers of that world. And it's great that Mark's got a fantastic section in this book as well. And again, it's to have that accolade for you, Tim. You need that quote put on T-shirts. You need that put in frames, because they are, again, Mark's words are powerful. And it's a great way to describe this book. Everybody that has put something into it has made it so entertaining and informative. You mentioned, being an editor, there were some things that we couldn't include, including that peanut butter cell, sadly. What else didn't make it into the book that you would have loved to have got in there?
God, there's so many. And it's very funny when you're doing a book, you absolutely live it while you're doing it. And then it's kind of like, then you just kind of forget. And it's kind of like going back and trying to remember all those kind of like, you know, it's a funny one. There were almost certainly, I think probably extra sort of weird toys and merchandise. I think I would have liked to have got more in there. So, I mean, you mentioned about the peanut butter, but, you know, I wonder if anyone's still got any of the original bread left you know, from the 50s, you know.
Now, I've seen the packaging. I've had the great honor of visiting the Superman Museum in Metropolis in America. Oh, yeah. And seeing some of the things in person was just an absolute treat. I felt like that moment in Indiana Jones when he's in the warehouse and there's just stuff everywhere. But the bread was such a unique item. One of my, I've got it around here somewhere. I think it's on the top of my top shelf. It was the Avon hairbrush that I liked from the 70s, where he's lying down in quite a provocative situation. But it's items like that that are really quite hard to get now. You don't really know about. So it's books like this that help keep it alive. I mean, I'm sure there are collectors out there that have got some wonderful pieces tucked away that don't want to let the world know about because they're scared of losing them. But it's places like the Superman Museum and this book that keep those weird and wonderful things going.
One of the interesting things, we had a collector who supplied some frames from the Crypto Ray Gun, which was a projector, which kind of projected the and there were tiny little 8mm cells. And those, and it's fascinating that, you know, he had some of those. And it was actually, I think, from someone he knew years ago who had actually taken a photo of the projection on the wall of this thing. And it was actually sort of showing Clark Kent with bullets flying off his chest. So he's giving his identity away, secret identity. But that stuff's never been published. No. You know, and these are actually strips, you know, there are stories, you know, and it was finding things like that, which was a joy. And it's kind of like, oh, this is really interesting, you know, that we can shine a light on this kind of material. And it is, you know, despite, you know, how much has been written about Superman, how much has, you know, been seen, it was still a joy to be able to dig out things that people haven't seen or I haven't heard, you know. And I think there's always something around, you know, something, new treasures to be found.
And I mean, hopefully there is still going to be more items out there to be discovered over the years as well. Every now and again, we'll see a Action Comics number one going up to auction for more millions of dollars. And I mean, it's great that as well. It's nice, but we've seen Action Comics number one. I mean, it's everywhere. This is a copy. This isn't an original, but this is one that I take to Comic Cons and get signed by as many artists and writers as I can. And hopefully one day, Tim, your name will be on this comic for the work that you've done. If there's no room, there's more comics. I've got one. Yeah. these copies came out a few years ago, and I was like, I need to get my hands on as many as possible because I'm worried that I'm going to run out. Much like the Insight Editions notebooks that they brought out a few years ago. They brought out these little Daily Planet journals, and they're perfect for my brain. I'm always forgetting things, and I'm always needing to write ideas down. So I got a few, and whenever I see them on sale, I clean out and get a lot and give copies away. Of all the places where I did a Google a few years ago of where to sort of find this particular notebook, it came from the Tank Museum shop in the UK. So they had them on their website. I thought, okay, they're going for like £2 each. I need to get as many as I can and help them clear out their stock room. But again, it's this character and something that means so much to someone else that it's great to see other people around the world enjoying it as well and learning new things. This is that sort of type of book that you are going to see on collectors' shelves and in libraries and in comic historic warehouses. I'd love to visit the DC Vault one day. It's on my bucket list of places to go to, just for that, to feel that power of comics and storytelling. But how does it feel for you to, you know, start your career in a comic shop, and now you're continuing your career by helping to share the history of comics and to encourage the world how important comics can be?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you know, it's like the best job in the world. you can't really complain, to be honest. I mean, it's like you have. It's a passion. It's a lifelong passion. It's something that is, I think, so vital to our culture, our world culture as a whole. And it's been nice to be a champion for so long, and to be there and just to be kind of chipping away at the rock face until eventually kind of like, you know, it's that you know, and I seem to remember it was kind of like there was a period maybe in the kind of like 90s or whatever where it was almost like, you know, when your favorite band suddenly becomes popular. And it was a bit like kind of, oh, now they get it. Oh, now all the Johnny Come Latelys are coming on. But actually, you know, that's a very kind of, you know, childish approach. I think it's, you know, the fact that it's always been about sharing the joy and making people realize that this is, you know, important stuff. I mean, it's you know, Superman shines a light on who we are as human beings. And I think, you know, we need to look at that and you know, celebrate that. I mean, I would say this book is very much, it's a celebration, although it's, you know, very much a history, and it's, you know, and it was important for me to do it for the fans, you know, and that's what, more than anything else, you know, Mark's, you know, accolades and reviews are wonderful, and that's great. But, you know, when I hear it from the fans, that means that we did something right. Because, you know, if we hadn't made them happy, then there's no point doing the book in the first place, you know.
And that's, I mean, it's difficult to keep comic book fans happy over the years. We are a difficult crowd to keep entertained and to keep on board. But everybody that I've spoke to about this book, both those who have worked on it and those that have added it to their collection, it's been that book that they've couldn't wait to crack open. Even though, you know, it feels like I need to sometimes open it whilst wearing white cotton gloves, I want to make sure that it stays as pristine as possible. But it does that, as you said. It tells Superman's story, but in such a beautiful way that it brings joy at the same time as educating and informing. And for me, the power of literature, not alone just as comics, but in a book form like this as well, it's powerful. There's been some fantastic Superman documentaries over the years, and there will be more to come, I hope. But this book crams so much into it and tells it in such an informative, entertaining way that it doesn't feel like you're in lesson, as it were. You're not in school. Even though there have been some Superman courses over the years that I've seen at universities around the world that I would love to attend, but this book tells it in such an informing way. So if you had a wonderful scenario where you could sit down and have a brief discussion with Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, what would you like to ask them?
Oof, God, that's a tricky one. I would like to ask them to maybe lawyer up a bit better.
Wise advice, yes.
You know, and stick with it, have faith. Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think, you know, I find it kind of sad story as well, because it was almost like, you know, lightning in a bottle. You know, they got that one thing and that really took off, and nothing else they did ever really took off in the same way. And I think in some ways, I think maybe there was a little bit of sadness or embitterment about that. But at the same time, you have to think what joy, you know, if they, you know, and they did see what joy they brought. I mean, you know, they got to see the Superman movie with Chris Reeve. I mean, that, you know, that in itself, I mean, they lived to see that, and that's wonderful. So I think, you know, and they'd seen the animation, and they'd seen the TV shows and all of this stuff. So I think, you know, they were aware of the impact that they had. And I would like to ask him, you know, did they enjoy that just, you know, impact that they had on the world, you know, and I hopefully they did. And it wasn't just all about the money.
I mean, but what I still love to see now is that they are still being celebrated. Whenever I see a new TV show or new film, to see Siegel and Shuster on the credits is a wonderful thing to see. And they've been honored in Ohio with the statues recently as well, and there have been sort of founding members were invited to the set of Superman with so many iconic other Superman writers and artists. And I think that's a lot to do with James Gunn's love for comics and storytelling. It's been a real wonderful thing to see him really promote the comics as well as the superhero films, which is something that hasn't always gone hand in hand over the years. So I think we're at, you know, just like with the exciting comics in the 80s and 90s, we're at a turning point when it comes to movies combining comics together. I've always wanted to see comics for sale in cinema lobbies after people come out from seeing these films. And I think we're getting close to seeing that now with these compact editions that are popping up all over the place as well. But for you, as a comic and a Superman fan, you've had a fantastic time creating this book. Are there any other characters out there that you would love to have a book like this for?
Well, funny you should say that, but we are working on a couple, actually.
Really? Okay.
Because we did do, Insight Editions did a Batman book, which was before this. So the Batman's been done. Okay. So it was logical for us to do Superman. But yeah, maybe not necessarily a DC character, but that's what I'm going to say.
But either way, I mean, Insight Editions, whenever something new pops up in my inbox from the fan site, I'm thinking something's coming out soon. I can feel the excitement. And they are wonderful books to collect and to gift. And I say, over the years, they've had some fantastic signs of them. But what one that I did love recently was the Superman Cookbook. Now, such fun ideas and fun little gifts as well. But there was one recipe that I really hoped they would include, and it was the beef bourguignon that Lois made for Superman. I was like, that's a fun little... It's tidbits like that really mean a lot to fans.
Yeah, and I think that's what Insight do, is it's made by fans for fans. Mm. So, and I think that's exactly what Insight's remit is all about, is making sure you put those little Easter eggs in there, those little touches that people go, you know, and you know, it's what everyone loves and appreciates. So, I mean, for me, I mean, I would say, you know, you were talking about holding the book with like white gloves, like it's an yes. artifact. Those inserts that we put through, you know, and all the way through, and for me, the best one was the Dark Knight Blue line mm-hmm. that we had. And that was a friend of mine, Joseph Melchior, had the original Blue line artwork from Lynn Varney. And so we managed to kind of scan both parts of that and then recreate that. And the joy of that was, A, it looks amazing, but also it's a bit of sort of comics history, because comics aren't created like that anymore. So, and I don't think people realize how they were done by physically painting over these, and then the black line being laid on top and then photographed. So, you know, we managed to kind of do two things there, create a really nice artifact and show a little bit of kind of comics history at the same time. So that for me is like, and all of those kind of inserts when we're doing reproductions of classic, you know, booklets or bits and pieces, you know, that to me is the fun part, you know.
I've seen some of those sort of that original artwork. There was a superhero exhibition in London quite a few years ago, but to see that original artwork, and I think I was quite naive at the time, because I thought, why is it so large? Because, you know, you don't understand that, you know, back then, as it were, artists would have a huge piece of paper. It wasn't sort of just a sort of small sheet. And it's when you find out that sort of facts about a comic or how the art is created, to see it after it's had that impact on the world is a wonderful thing. And I say, with that particular Dark Knight page as well, thinking, wow, it feels like you've got comic history in your hands, because they're recreated so well. And yeah, it's a credit to all the creators and the research team and the editors why this book is so adored by so many people. And I like picking it up, but when I know that I pick it up, I'm gonna lose about an hour. I'm gonna go from one page to the other and just go back and fact check something else, because that's how detailed this book is. So again, I wish I could send every single person a thank you card that worked on this book for the enjoyment that it has brought me. And again, a closer connection to the hero that I'm already clearly obsessed about. So Tim, thank you for that. Now, before I let you go, may I ask what you're up to next? What's going on in the world of you, Tim?
Oh, working on quite a few projects. Just did a nice book with Anthony Taylor, which is a classic monsters modern art. Wow. Which is all of the... Actually, I can probably...
Oh, look at that.
There we go.
Fantastic.
Fantastic cover by Graham Hunt. So, and it's all the great monsters from the 20th century, all interpreted by artists in the 21st century.
Wow.
So there's no artwork from earlier than 2000, and none of the monsters, you know, it's nothing kind of recent, are all from the, you know, 1900 up to 1999. So it's a really nice kind of mixture. And we've got some fantastic artists involved in there who, you know, contributed from all around the world. So that's just come out. So that's really lovely. As I said, working on a similar Superman type book coming up. We've got, at the end of this year, been doing a Titanic book, because next year is the 30th anniversary. Yes. So, and this is going to be an absolute killer book on the entire history. We've got all of the cast, Kate Winslet, James Cameron, Billy Zane, all of those have been re-interviewed for the book. You know, we've got the original photographer on board, and she's been helping us out with all of that. Mary Wallace. So yeah, so that's going to be a really lovely kind of,
I can't wait for that one as well. And again, I'm going to have to get some more reinforced shelves for all these.
They
books.
Are big books.
Billy Zane was always one of my fantasy picks for a fantastic Lex Luthor. I always wanted him.
Oh, he would have been great. Yeah,
with that charm and wit. But yes. Oh, but again, Titanic, fantastic film. Yeah. A film that is again, as well as Titanic being an epic moment in history, I think that film's impact on Hollywood and how films can be told, that's going to be another fantastic read as well. And to see, again, behind the scenes and props and facts and reprints, that's going to be exciting, Tim.
Yeah. And it's nice because we, you know, we got James Cameron was re-interviewed for it with that sense of history, because, you know, he's step back and look at it, and, you know, with fresh eyes, and see how, you know, all the different things that happened after the film. So there's like the 3D version, and then the kind of anniversary 4K, and all of these kind of things, and its legacy, you know, like Superman's legacy. Titanic has legacy.
It does. Yeah. And much like Superman had a musical, there's been a comedy musical about Titanic now as well. So again, more things to add to future books. Absolutely wonderful. Can't wait to check that out. Before you, my final question today, sir, where can people find you online and check out what Insight Editions are doing next?
Yeah, I mean, you could just probably check out all the stuff at insighteditions.com. You know, we've got everything up there, and we do a lot of website exclusives as well. So there's things that you won't find on Amazon or in the shops. And if you love those big books with those really beautiful extras and inserts and things like that, things that you're never going to get anywhere else, then definitely the website's the place to check out.
Superb. And again, I just like checking out the books and going on the website and seeing people enjoy them. So I'm often checking out the Inside Editions hashtags online as well. Tim, my final question for you today, somebody that has worked on this book so passionately, I love asking this question to people and the answers are always different, but what does Superman mean to you?
A better tomorrow. The hope, the promise of a better tomorrow. I think that's always what he's there for. Mm-hmm. And I think kindness and looking after each other. And I think that's something to be lauded, you know. So yeah, in these slightly dark times, I think that's what we need more than anything else. So, I honestly, you know, watching what Gunn did with the last film, it brought back that 70s feeling, and I did well up a little bit because it was so lovely to see. And you know, I have to confess, I wasn't too sure about David Corin Sweat, but he nailed it completely, and he really captured the essence of Reeve, you know. So, yeah. So I would say, yeah, the promise of a better tomorrow is probably a good thing. Oh,
again, there's no wrong answer to that question, but I love finding out people's interpretations, and that was a beautiful one. So, Tim, thank you again so much for your time today, but also for the hard work that you put into this book and many other books over the years, and just your constant passion for comics that hasn't changed since your first job. And I love that.
Yeah. It's in the blood. Once it's in there, you can't get rid of it. So yeah, till the day I die, I think.
Wonderful. Tim, thank you so much for your time today, and I really can't wait to see what you get up to next.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having us, Luke. Cheers.
And there is another episode done. Tim, thank you so much. Thank you for helping create this book. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your long career in comics. You have turned a passion into a fantastic career, and I cannot wait to see what you do next. And I really can't wait to see what is going to be in this new Superman book that comes out later this year. I have been your host, Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel. Thank you for watching. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, save, all that good stuff. And I'll be back soon with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.